We got breaking news. Articles of impeachment filed against Governor Tim Walz.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. I'm here. Will Haynes is here. We're going to be joined later on by Attorney General of West Virginia, J.B. McCuskey, and have a packed show coming up. And I want to hear from you as well at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We are covering some breaking news that is just happening, and we're going to cover this. And Will's got a lot of the information in front of him, and I do as well. And that is that four articles of impeachment have been filed against Governor Tim Walz in Minnesota. This is obviously following the whole fraud scandal. The articles, the first one, violation of oath of office through concealment of fraud. That's how it opens. Now, what does it look like? What does it mean? Could it actually get through? Maybe more likely than you'd think. Now, will it end in a result of him being removed from office? Well, it's politics. So I'd say that the odds are unlikely. But it's another push that could maybe at least drive him to decide whether he wants to finish this term.
That's right. So what we're looking at here is four articles of impeachment filed against Governor Tim Walz in Minnesota. This is an effort led by State Representative Mike Warner. And this all comes out of the fraud investigations that are going on and ongoing still into Minnesota. What we have here is Article 1, violation of oath of office through concealment of fraud. Article 2, interference with oversight of investigations. Article 3, prioritizing political considerations over lawful administration. And Article 4, failure to steward public funds, which I think of all of them, I feel like Article 4 is on its face the most easily provable, based off especially the whistleblowers that have said multiple times that they were made aware of this and yet did nothing.
Because that's the big one. The big one that you really look at it, and obviously they're saying concealment of fraud, all these things. But the one thing we can at least probably all agree on is that the oversight was just simply not there.
Right.
That no one was really checking up on it, or the people that were checking up on it weren't doing a very good job at it. So you're right. When it comes to Article 4, failure to steward public funds, I mean, I think negligence is very easily provable in this moment. Now, the others are a little bit more political. We'll see what they say. We'll see where it ends up. But there's also an interesting thing where you told me, Will, that the people who would be deciding on this, the majority are Republicans.
That's right. So when you look at it, how does impeachment work in Minnesota? We are very familiar here with impeachment in the U.S. House of Representatives on the national level. Well, it's very similar in the state level in Minnesota. So articles of impeachment based off of Article 8 of the Minnesota Constitution, they begin, as it does federally, in the state House of Representatives. An impeachment is brought there, and then it is decided through a concurrence of the House of Representatives. A majority, simple majority, is all you need to get there. Right now, the breakdown in the Minnesota House, they have 134 potential seats. The Republicans hold 67. The Democrats have 65, and there are two vacant seats. So as of right now, the Republicans have a two-seat majority, meaning there is a pathway where this could not just be articles of impeachment introduced, but an impeached governor, which then goes to trial in the Minnesota Senate. Now, the breakdown there are 34 Democrats and 33 Republicans, so a majority held by Democrats. However, very similar to what we have in the U.S., Senate needing a conviction on the presidential level, you have to have a trial and then a conviction by two-thirds of the senators present. So a little bit harder hurdle.
Unlikely, but it does say proceedings could get underway next month. That's when the House reconvenes. And the state would hold a trial and determine, as you said, whether he is guilty in order to be potentially removed from office. But in general, we know that this process is not fun for anyone to be involved in. So it does beg the question of how far can even just the threat, the loom of having a impeachment trial, what does it mean for you? Now, Tim Walz has obviously said not guilty, and he's obviously said, I'm not going anywhere. He's been pretty clear about that. What do you think about this? 1-800-684-3110. As I said, West Virginia Attorney General J.B. McCuskey is going to be joining us. You heard about the Supreme Court case they were involved in. We'll discuss that, as well as taking your phone calls, like I said, at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your phone calls. And look, I got to restate this. A lot of you are just joining us right now. And it is a breaking news item, and it's a real item. Look, this isn't some sort of clickbait nonsense you're going to click on and go, what are we talking about here? And that is, articles of impeachment have been filed in Minnesota against Tim Walz. The first one is about fraud. There's many different options. The last one is at least about negligence. And Will just uncovered something interesting. Look, we're not legal experts here in terms of the exact details of this, but there are some caveats in the law that may actually lead to not necessarily the removal of office from Tim Walz, but from a suspension of office.
That's Tim Walz. That's right. So when you look at the Article 8 of the Constitution of Minnesota, that the entire article specifically deals with impeachment and removal of office. So it goes over the impeachment powers in Section 1 about House of Representatives having the sole power of impeaching through concurrence of a majority of all its members, and then it being tried in the Senate, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of two-thirds of the senators present.
Yeah, we discussed this in the last segment.
Exactly.
Very standard, similar to the presidency in the United States, which a lot of us became very familiar with a few years ago.
But what is interesting and what does differ from the U.S. Constitution when it comes to impeachment is Section 3. Section 3 of Article 8 of the Minnesota Constitution says suspension. No officer shall exercise the duties of his office after he has been impeached and before his acquittal. So what it appears to read here is that the Constitution allows for the suspension of, it would appear, the governor or any officer that has been impeached while they are awaiting the adjudication through the trial in the Senate. And then if they are acquitted, resume their duties. If they are not acquitted, obviously they are removed from office. So I feel like that caveat there makes it a lot more higher stakes than it necessarily is in the U.S. Impeachment in the federal level, because of that suspension level. Now, they do have to serve the individual after they have been impeached within 20 days. I feel like it'll be a lot quicker than that, where they deliver the articles of impeachment. But once again, we've seen how a federal trial in the U.S. Senate at that level of impeachment, it takes time. They impeach the president in that first term. Then there was a little bit of delay of when the articles of impeachment were marched over to the Senate. Then they get it all set up. And then it took several weeks. So potentially at the time where you are seeing a lot of chaos in Minnesota, not just at the level of the fraud issue, but with all of the ICE things, all of the stuff that's going on, that they could be potentially without a governor being suspended during this time for a matter of weeks.
Yeah, so does that push this situation where Tim Walz, who already announced he will not be running again, does this push him to potentially decide to step aside? That's a question I'm sure a lot of Minnesotans are asking. I'm seeing a lot of them in the chat right now. If you are in Minnesota and you're listening or watching right now, I would love you to call in and give me your thoughts. You know, on the ground feedback is always a little bit different than what we get from the national news. So let me know what you think. Do you feel like this has any legs? 1-800-684-3110. Do you want it to have legs? Maybe you're burned out by the impeachment process from President Trump. Maybe you think this doesn't qualify there. Because look, as we said, there's four articles of impeachment here. One of them we feel like is pretty darn clear, that which is failure to steward public funds, which essentially neglecting his job and making sure public funds were spent appropriately. Now, you go through fraud, covering fraud, all those things. Those are a bit more speculative. There will have to be a trial. There will have to be evidence. But it is not fun to go through this. And I feel maybe for Tim Walz only in that this is not a fun process to put you and your family through. But you know what? The people in Minnesota clearly have had enough. I also think this shows the broad scale of American politics when it comes to these states. Because you think of Minnesota as a pretty blue state in terms of, I mean, yes, there's been times where it's gone more Republican. It is more, maybe you could say it's Midwestern blue collar. It definitely isn't as full blown as you'd expect. But when you actually look at the House and the way that they are going, there's more Republicans at this point that counterbalance what's going on. It's much like many states. It's kind of a, 50-50, 60-40 kind of situation.
Well, and on national level, yes, it is definitely more of a blue state. You don't see it as a type of swing state like Michigan has been, like Wisconsin has been recently, of those Midwest states.
Well, it kind of feels like it should be.
Well, and once again, even their Democrat Party there is the Democrat Farm Labor Party. It's not even the Democrat Party of Minnesota. It has its own unique name, the Farm Labor Party, which is interesting because I feel like the majority of those in agriculture in Minnesota are no longer represented by the Democrat Party as it is today, and especially with how liberal and how far left it's gone. There's a lot of rural area in Minnesota, but yes, the population centers are still very liberal. When it comes to a national election, a federal election, they are typically going to go more blue, but you do have to realize when you're talking about micro level representation, you are talking about people being able to select their representatives in a state house. Yeah, they probably are going to lean, have a lot more option for conservative representation in the state. And that's what you see here with 134 potential seats in the House of the Minnesota Representatives. There are 67 Republicans. There are 65 with the Democrat Party and then two vacant seats, meaning, I mean, if the Democrats pick those up in a special election or something, you're tied.
Yeah.
At very best, you're tied in this Minnesota State House. So it is a fascinating thing. As it stands, there is a two-seat majority by Republicans. That means there is a, just on partisan lines, a very good chance that Governor Tim Walz, in an election year, remember, he just dropped out of the race.
Yeah, so he's going to be done.
This is going to be a stain on the party as well, that he could be impeached during this election year.
I want to take a call coming in from Minnesota. Let's go to Jason. And again, if you're in Minnesota or anywhere, but if you're in Minnesota specifically, give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. Jason, you're on the air. Jason, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to say that the people in Minnesota has seen this coming for a long time. We've seen the fraud, even at the county level. We've seen it for years. It's a joke that we talk about at the bar. We're just ready to be over and done with this. Yeah. We know it's there. We just want it to be over and done with. We're sick and tired of it.
I guess that's going to be the definition of what does over and done with it mean? Because you could have over and done with it, he's impeached. You could have over and done with it as Tim Walz is going to be out in 8 months anyway, or 10 months anyway.
Well, and I have a question for you, Jason, as well, because once again, Tim Walz was running for re-election. Now he's trying to open up for a potential different Democrat candidate to retain the governorship there. Are you hearing a lot of people that are fed up with the party, not just Tim Walz, that want to see a difference and a change in leadership in the state?
So, I've been hearing it from a lot of people, but a lot of people are terrified of Amy Klobuchar.
Yeah.
They know that's who's going to be running next, and they're terrified of it. And I'm from northern Minnesota, and we know that we don't matter. It's Minneapolis and St. Paul. That's all that matters. And we're sick of it. We're sick of all the fraud. We're sick of them shipping voters in, you know, because that's what it amounts to.
Well, and Jason, and that's what we were basically referencing earlier. There's a lot of rural area, a lot of other places in Minnesota that aren't necessarily seen as getting representation on the national stage when it comes to congressmen, when it comes to their senators. But when it comes to the local representation, that's why you see it a lot closer in the state house and even in the Minnesota Senate. They only have a one-seat majority, the Democrats. But as Jason points out, the big name that people are referencing is Amy Klobuchar, who is the senator from Minnesota currently, obviously has won statewide elections there before.
I mean, a nationally known name.
Exactly. And when it comes to name recognition alone, being on ballot for a governor race, I think Jason pointed out very well, and I'm glad that he called in, that, yeah, if you are a conservative, that probably is the name you are scared of. You're not scared of them going further left on paper like some of the representatives that you've seen there. You know the attorney general there being Keith Ellison. You know that that is the state where Ilhan Omar is a representative from. I don't think that the state probably is as concerned about them going on paper that far left, but it is when you have an establishment Democrat like Amy Klobuchar that could potentially win the governorship.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we'll be back in just a moment. We have a special guest joining us, Attorney General from West Virginia, J.B. McCuskey, and we'll maybe give people a little bit of preview of why he's coming on.
That's right. Yesterday, there was that big Supreme Court case that was wall-to-wall coverage on all networks about states that had put in restrictions on boys playing in girls sports within their state. Idaho and West Virginia were the ones that had this challenge taken all the way up to the Supreme Court. We have the Attorney General of West Virginia, J.B. McCuskey, joining us next, as it was his state that was fighting hard at the Supreme Court yesterday. Get a recap of how he felt it went for West Virginia, and as well as how he continues to fight for the people of West Virginia and the whole country.
We're going to discuss that further with JB. Also, if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, go to ACLJ.org. And if you want to get involved in what's going on in Minnesota, we actually are right now. The ACLJ filed 5 Freedom of Information requests in the state of Minnesota about the fraud situation. You can be a part of that at ACLJ.org as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take your calls and comments coming up, so I want you to get involved. 1-800-684-3110. Obviously, the main topic of the day, we are talking about the Minnesota whole situation, but the articles of impeachment have been filed against Tim Walz. We're going to get back to that. So I know a lot of you are watching because of that, so stay tuned. We're going to get back to that in the next segment. Now we are joined, though, by West Virginia Attorney General, a good friend of the show and ACLJ alumni, J.B. McCuskey. And what a day you've had, and it's definitely a year, but quite a day yesterday, Will.
That's right. So the Attorney General is joining us now. And from what we saw yesterday, there was a very large presence on Capitol Hill. We've seen as well that there was a lot of coverage when it comes to what was going on within the Supreme Court yesterday. So, JB, yesterday, as you, I saw you on a lot of the news, a lot of media yesterday. Your Solicitor General was arguing before the Supreme Court. Give us kind of a rundown of how that went yesterday, as far as your eyes as the Attorney General.
Yeah, let me start by saying, you know, all of this for me started right here at the American Center for Law and Justice. I'm a proud alumnus of the ACLJ. I'm in the ACLJ studios here in D.C. today, and I owe so much of what I have and who I am to Jay and Jordan and everybody here at the ACLJ, so thank you. And yesterday at the court, we had the ability to defend West Virginia's law that quite simply says that biological boys shouldn't be on biological girls or can't be on biological girls' sports teams, because we know that boys have an unfair physical advantage over girls, and Title IX, as well as the Equal Protection Clause, instruct us that we have to find safe and fair playing spaces for women so that we can ensure that they have the same opportunities that men do and have had for the last 50 years.
Yeah, and I think, look, wherever you land on the broader issue, this is that kind of one spot that I feel like most Americans seem to agree on. That doesn't seem like that you have this much. I mean, you do from D.C., you do from the political landscape. But I feel like when you actually are polling normal Americans, talking to people, they go, yeah, you can feel whatever you want to feel on the actual, you know, merits of the situation. But when it comes to the sports one, it seems to be that is the red line for a lot of people.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because if you would have said that 5 years ago, nobody would have agreed with you. Right. And so the sea change that's happened in the last 5 years with really being led by young female athletes who took a leadership position when it was very unpopular to say these things. People like Riley Gaines, who have spoken out about this from the very beginning, they showed real courage. And this case wouldn't have happened yesterday if it wasn't for the courageous actions of women like Riley Gaines and young female athletes all across this country who were willing to stand up and say that when it wasn't popular.
And JB, once again, it also takes states like West Virginia, states like Idaho that were willing to also put legislation forward to say, hey, as a state, we believe that this is how it should be. We want to protect the citizens, in many cases, the youth of our state. And so we're going to move forward with legislation on this, knowing that we're going to get challenged, knowing that it is going to come to a cost to the state to defend this, and knowing that that is the right way forward. And it takes attorneys general like yourself that are both savvy, but as well knowing we have to fight this, but we also have to win it. And we have to take it all the way to the Supreme Court to win this, not just for our state, but for the whole country and for an entire generation of young women that are currently in limbo under all this. So I just want to say, one, what does that mean for you? You know, you're very early into your tenure as Attorney General of West Virginia, but knowing the stakes could not be higher in that position today.
Yeah, yesterday and really this whole week was quite nerve-wracking, but I will tell you that, it, as my wife would say, in true McCuskey fashion, I did somehow manage to get to argue a landmark Supreme Court case on the one-year anniversary of me becoming the Attorney General, something that doesn't happen all the time. But, you know, it is, when you're a public servant and you have the opportunity to do something that's good and something that is right, that's going to make a difference for everyone around you, that's what this is all about, right? And I'm just so grateful to the people of West Virginia for electing me here, and I'm grateful to our legislature for taking this step. And I'm equally grateful for the incredible team of lawyers that we've assembled in the Attorney General's office, who are able to argue these kind of tough cases on a big national stage and really show the world why West Virginia is truly unique and wonderful.
It's really great to really have you on and discuss this, because look, it became a big topic. Look, it's what they're covering right now on a lot of the news of the day. So to have someone who, when you all are listening, you all are supporting the ACLJ and understand that, you know, our teams have some of them have been with us for a long time, some are no longer with us, but again, as you said, JB, you've been with us in some form or fashion for, you know, the majority of our lives at this point, and you get to see what the influence is on the future of Washington, D.C., and where that ends up. And for you specifically, in a state like West Virginia, that I do think needs more love, needs to get more attention, because you're on the forefront of a lot of big cultural issues.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the world is healing. And West Virginia, as a group, has a set of values that really mirror the rest of this country and really value what it means to be an American and why that's so important. So anybody out there who's listening is trying to get out of a blue state with high taxes, I got to tell you, wild and wonderful West Virginia is the place you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for hopping on today. And look, I think that it is always important for our audience to understand the scope of the work, Will, that we do here, but also, you know, our friends that are in high positions at this point.
That's right. And our work doesn't end with people in those positions. JB, I know that there are ways that our legal team are always in discussion with you and ways that we can fight together, because we have that same set of values, that same common goal for this country. And we know that sometimes it's got to be groups like the ACLJ that take the action with a private client. Sometimes it's the states that are bold enough to stand up.
Let me interrupt you just real quick, Will. And to your listeners, I think what you all need to understand is that there are 27 other Republican attorney generals who would have done exactly what I did, but the ACLJ is the premier First Amendment and religious freedom law firm in this country. And I know that because I worked here. And I meant it when I said it, that I would not be sitting here if it wasn't for Jay and Jordan Seculo. And I am just immensely grateful for you guys for giving me the skills and the opportunity to get where I am today.
Again, thank you so much for joining us today. Best of luck. We'll certainly be following all of it very, very closely. With that, we have a second half hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. If you lose us on your local radio station, we are broadcasting live on ACLJ.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, however you get your podcast. We are there right now for the next half hour. We got some phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110, and I want to hear from you. You heard about how we're getting involved in Minnesota. There's a lot of you watching right now. So many of you are watching and are going, hey, when are you going to get back to Minnesota? I love what JB is doing about West Virginia, but don't worry. In the next segments, we are going right back to it. We're going to give you the discussion. This was not clickbait. Articles of impeachment have been filed against Tim Walz. What that means, if you're brand new, if you're just joining us right now, we'll get into what it means. It means actually more than you'd expect. It's not necessarily just a political stunt. There are real ramifications that come from this. Let's talk about it. Let's chat it out. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to be involved, though, if you see what's going on in Minnesota and you go, Logan, I want to do something about it, you can be a part of our team, join the ACLJ, become an ACLJ member, and also sign that petition, aclj.org/sign, because right now, we have filed 5 Freedom of Information Act requests to expose and defeat the what we feel is an industrial-scale fraud in Minnesota, and you know what? It could be all around the country. We're going to take a hard look at it, and we have a team of lawyers ready to take action. Be a part of it right now. That is at aclj.org/sign where you can be a part of it. You can also become an ACLJ champion while you're there. Give a donation or give to us on a monthly basis. It'd be fantastic. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to dive right back into it because I know so many of you are watching right now. This is not a clickbait title. This is what's going on. And phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to take some calls even in this segment. And that is that articles of impeachment have been filed against Tim Walz. Now, what does that look like, Will? Why don't you lay it out for all the people just joining us in the second half hour?
That's right. So in an effort led by State Representative Mike Warner of Minnesota, they have filed four articles of impeachment against the governor of Minnesota. Article 1, violation of oath of office through concealment of fraud. Article 2, interference with oversight and investigations. Article 3, prioritizing political considerations over lawful administration. And Article 4, failure to steward public funds. These articles will be looked at by the House as they return next month. And what does it mean? In West Virginia, we just had the Attorney General on. In Minnesota, the impeachment, much like in the case of the U.S. Congress, it begins in their House of Representatives and then will be moved forward by a simple majority. So right now, the Minnesota House, out of 134 total members, has 67 Republicans, 65 Democrats, and two vacancies, meaning just on a party line vote, they could get to that majority to move it on to a trial in the Minnesota Senate, where you have 34 Democrats and 33 Republicans, making a 67 total, but you need 2/3 majority to convict there. One caveat that we see that is not in the U.S. Constitution,
but is in Article 8
of the Minnesota Constitution on impeachment and removal from office. Section 3 says suspension. No officer shall exercise the duties of his office after he has been impeached and before his acquittal. Effectively meaning that a officer would be suspended from office until their trial has been conducted and they have been acquitted. If they would return to their office, obviously removal from office would mean they are no longer in office. We will see where this goes, and we will see if they take that title of no officer and apply that to the governor's office. I would, on the face of it, the way it reads, but we will see, and I would assume the governor would probably try to fight that somehow. But once again, this is a state process. This does not involve the Department of Justice. We know that there are also fraud investigations going on at the Department of Justice, looking into the conduct of the governor and many other officers in the state. So also to the people that are saying, he should go to jail, this could end up in him being jailed. This is the political angle. This is the political trial. This would not bring criminal charges per se. That would be up to the DOJ.
That's right. Look, phone lines are open for you. We want to take some calls. Mike is in Minnesota. We got a minute and a half. Mike, let's take you before we go to the break. You're ACLJ champion, so you've been on hold for a while. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things I'm very concerned about, parties voting on blocks. In other words, where are we going to get Congress people and leaders who are going to say, I'm going to vote for what's right? I know there's retributions from the party. But, you know, we need men of integrity in our government. Without integrity, the people really perish. And in Minnesota, we have had nothing but, you know, fraud and electric, fraud on our elections. This impeachment, I'm glad it's coming. You know, the other thing, you know, Walz was notified a long time ago that there was fraud going on. Now, is he collecting money under the table? Is Elvison, other leaders? If that's found out, this guy needs to go to jail. And just think, we were, you know, possibly him as president of our country.
Yeah, not that far away, Mike. Only cutting you off because of time here. But, Mike, I think you're right here. There's a lot of discussion going on. Now, I don't know the makeup of everybody, obviously, in the Minnesota House, but in the Senate, there may be some that could flip. You know, I don't know where that stands. Maybe we could do some digging, see if there are some maybe soft Democrats or soft Republicans that will or will not convict You only need a couple. We'll talk about that and more coming up. Phone lines are open for you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We're going to stick on this topic for right now because so many of you are watching and are calling in about it. Let's go ahead and, actually, we'll take calls in a few minutes. I think we do need to discuss this because there's four articles of impeachment that have been filed against Tim Walz. And what those are, and then some people have said, well, all four sound legitimate. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying they don't sound legitimate. We're saying there's one that I think is clear cut. Because you look at the situation here, you have the first one, violation of oath of office through concealment of fraud. That's something they're going to have to fight out, whether right. this was intentional. It accuses of Walz of knowingly concealing or permitting the concealment of fraud in state programs, ignoring repeated warnings. We did hear about them in the last caller that there have been warnings.
Right.
I'm not saying you can't get them there. You likely could. But that one is obviously has to be argued out. The second one is interference with oversight and investigations, charges Walz with obstructing, interfering with lawful oversight. Again, you got to prove that. Third, prioritizing political consideration over lawful administration, alleges that Tim Walz placed political narratives and consideration above the proper administration of state programs. Again, very likely. The fourth one, though, is just, I mean, I think this one's so clear cut. Of course, you can still have to argue it out. But I mean, from what everything we've seen, which is at least Article 4, failure to steward public funds, accuses Tim Walz of neglecting his duty to faithfully execute law from protecting public funds, which again shows where they went to places they should not have gone to. I think that was pretty clear. I think universally, we can probably all agree on that, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, that the oversight for this fraud was there. It existed. That doesn't mean you can't push forward. You got a Republican led House that can make this call, and then it moves on to a Democrat. But as Will said, there's some interesting caveats in this, which includes a suspension essentially until a conviction is or isn't made. Now, could that be months? Yeah. Could it be days? Who knows? This is a little bit different in terms of the state.
Well, and here's the other problem as well. Once you go through all those others, as you said, they will mount a defense if it goes to a trial in the Senate, which, based off just the party line, it appears they could impeach him. But once again, that failure to steward public funds, as our previous caller called and said, when are we going to start seeing people of integrity stand up and not just vote party line, especially on things like this? Because the failure to steward public funds, it accuses Walz of neglecting his duty to faithfully execute laws protecting public funds, resulting in weakened safeguards, ignored protocols, and unchecked dissipation of billions in taxpayer money through fraudulent activities and multiple state initiatives. This was a state that was projected to have a $17 billion surplus, is now being projected to have a $4 billion deficit. So when you talk about the swing of the state, and where are those high costs going? Areas of healthcare, areas of Medicaid, areas of education. All the places where we were seeing these reports of fraud come up. So on the surface of it, the failure to steward public funds, if your state is thriving financially, has surpluses in their budget, and then all of a sudden you're projecting billions of dollars in deficit, yeah, it sounds like the leadership failed to steward the public funds. And where did those funds go? It wasn't just on bridges to nowhere or things of that, the classic political waste projects. It went to things where there were fraudsters that, because of your weakened safeguards,
potentially funding very bad things,
and ignored protocols, it led in the hands of thieves, fraudsters, who stole the hardworking Minnesotans' taxpayer dollars. And the rest of the country, by the way, because a lot of this was federal monies going into the state, distributed by the government of the state. So all of our taxpayer dollars, too, are being stolen by thieves, people who are enriching themselves off of the hardworking Minnesotans and Americans that pay their taxes and expect the leadership to, at very minimum, have safeguards and protocols up that don't allow it to get just stolen to the tune of $9 billion at least. That's what we were hearing from the assistant U.S. attorney. So, once again, as you said, if there are people of integrity, also just knowing it's his last year in office, yeah, how do you not have more senators in the Minnesota Senate that are Democrats?
That are on the line.
That are in the Democrat Farm Labor Party that say, you know what? Yeah, at very minimum, Article 4, impeach him, convict him, throw him out of office.
Well, I think this is where it's time for, you know, Minnesotans to step up. If you have one of these people in your area, let them know how you feel. If you believe there's been this massive fraud, they're going to go a bit with how their constituents say, specifically heading into midterms. I don't know who's up, who's not up, but, you know, there are major political consequences. So step up, speak out. If you're in Minnesota right now, you got to get involved. Give me a call, though, too. I'd love to hear from you. You got three lines open at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Ronald in South Carolina, watching on Rumble. Ronald, go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Something almost like this was happening in South Carolina way back right. when. And Obama's time, it was that what they call Reconstruction funding that was going out to all the states. And then Governor Mark Sanford, he wanted to use it to help the residents by buying down the taxes and stuff like that. So, well, what it came down to was he was literally told by the federal government, you must use this to create jobs and this, that, and the other. So what he wanted to do first, before he dispersed that money, was to have all the agencies do their budget, their yearly budget, and because many of those had top-heavy administration, which meant that if the money comes in, much of it's going to be absorbed by the high-priced administrators on the top and would not get to the people. And so you wanted to try and prevent that. So that was one point where he was really trying to manage what was coming into the state to help the state and not to hurt the state.
Well, and once again, but what do you see in administrative state whenever you try to do things that could benefit the people instead of just going, being a clearinghouse for NGOs that that take grants? You get pushback. You get pushback at every level. You get pushback at the federal government, at the state level, from the bureaucracy. What you saw, though, in Minnesota was that actually the people within the state administration, which is actually kind of rare these days to see and refreshing to see, many of whom are Democrats in the state government, have been saying, we've been telling Tim Walz this for years. We've been telling his administration. We've been blowing the whistle on this. Many of us were punished for trying to bring this to the light of day. And so what happens now? It gets to this point where it's a national story. Some fraud within a state government typically is not a national story. It's not something that people care about if you talk about fraud at a governor level or a city level in a state that isn't maybe New York or California or Florida. It is a something that typically is only cared about in the local news. This has ballooned so much because the amount is shocking. Logan talks about how much a billion is all the time, which is almost, it is almost comical that we talk about billions of dollars as if it's nothing when you think about how large those numbers are. And when the assistant U.S. attorney said that half of the federal dollars that went there, which was $18 billion, which is hard to fathom, was taken by fraudsters, was stolen, that's a 50% loss rate by those that are in control and supposed to have the mechanisms to make sure it's not stolen. That's incredible. No one, any corporation, if you were in the loss department and just trying to make sure that there was not theft prevention, imagine if you were at a drugstore and 50% of your CVS's stock was stolen and they're like, you can keep your job though. That's what we're talking about here. Anywhere else, you would be out of a job and your resume would be torched for the rest of your life. You would never be able to get another job. How did you lose your job? Well, I oversaw the loss retention and 50% of our inventory was taken.
I lost $9,000
million. $9,000
million.
No big deal.
We need to go back to that. We need to go back to the $1,000 million because I feel like that's even hard to even calculate in your mind. $1,000 million is a billion. $9,000 million we're talking about here, potentially. It's wild. Hey, we got a last segment of the show coming up. Is that math right? Did I math that?
Wait, I don't know.
It sounds right. Sounds good.
I'll believe it.
All right. Sounds good. One, everyone's shaking their head yes. So you know what?
You know how long 9 billion seconds is, Logan?
Well, how are you defining it?
By a second. One Mississippi.
Oh, obviously. Like how long it would take to...
How long is 9 billion seconds? It's actually pretty straightforward.
9 billion seconds?
Yeah. How long does it take to count that?
Oh, I don't know.
To tick off how many
okay.
how are long? 9 billion seconds?
Like how many years are we talking about? I don't know.
285.2 years.
Yeah, only tortoises live that long.
Yeah, okay? Our country is not that old.
Yeah.
We have not been around for 9 billion seconds.
That's crazy. I wouldn't have thought that. We got one more segment coming up. We got three lines open. I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. If you're looking for a way to get involved, people are saying, am I a mathematician? Absolutely. Phone lines are open
for
you.
Got bored for it.
1-800-684-3110. This is a great way. In the last week, you can get involved in the ACLJ as we just filed 5 major FOIA requests to expose the fraud that's going on in Minnesota even deeper. Be a part of that right now. Get your name on it. ACLJ.org/sign. Do it today. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. You're jammed. We're going to take as many calls as we can. No guarantees if you're calling in right now, but we'll try our best to get to you. I think we should start off with I love to end the show with as many calls as we can. It's always fun to hear from the American people. Let's go around the country. Let's go to Tom in California watching on Rumble. Go ahead, Tom.
Gentlemen, great job. Great job. Keep up the good work. I'm an older guy. I've been through a lot of corruption and scandals. Watched it and observed it. And what I want to know is, as long as evil and corruption and greed has been in existence, which is go back to the beginning of mankind and time, why do we not have laws and people that can keep this from happening? I believe everybody, I'm an independent voter, I believe everybody in Congress should resign for allowing this fraud to go on and continue. And after this one, there'll be another one, another one, another one. And the only way, in my opinion, to stop it, is put them in prison, take away all their retirement benefits and any financial gain they have made from being in office, and stick them away as a felon. God bless.
Look, Tom, I understand the frustration. And look, I have a lot of feelings on Washington, D.C. There's a reason that my studio here in the media center is not in Washington, D.C. It would make sense for us to be in Washington, D.C. We do obviously have our studio there. We saw JB earlier from our studio in Washington, D.C. There is a heaviness and a darkness that is upon that city at all times, regardless, honestly, of who's in office. There is so much dirty business going on that it is hard to escape the funk. You know, it kind of permeates into your life. I'm not a fan, as you've heard. You heard Rick Grenell say the same thing. He tries to spend as much time in California as he can, even if the job takes him there. And the job does take us there, obviously, quite a bit. But Tom, I understand that frustration, that it feels like that nothing ever gets done, or that this corruption has been there the whole time, and we just kind of had to accept it in politics. It's a dirty game. They say it's a blood sport. I think it's even more than that. It is the people who are wanting to get involved. There's obviously that too, which is because there are a lot of good people who see what happens and go, I can't subject my family to this.
Right.
I would put myself through this. I would become a public servant, but why?
Well, and to Tom's point, we saw the outrage of the left with DOGE. What was DOGE trying to do? Get a handle on waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government. If you think that Minnesota's shocking $9 billion of just straight up stolen money is shocking, I think that if we were really able to get to the bottom of what is being stolen, not just wasted, but stolen from the federal government, it would fund entire nations. Their entire GDP is being stolen from you. The taxpayer, because of the controls of the federal government, I don't believe are any better than those of Minnesota. And when you see how the NGO empire that just takes grants and then pass through NGOs that they take the grant and give the grant to someone else, it's a whole scheme built around taking federal dollars, and nothing is being done.
And look, I want to clarify, because there's a lot of great people listening right now, and I know that even working for our team in Washington, D.C. I'm not saying there aren't good people. There obviously are. I'm just talking about the system itself in the world of politics can be very dirty. And I understand the situation. Look, I'm thankful for a lot of them that are willing to do that and to be there. Let's go to Josh, who's calling on line four. Josh, watch on YouTube. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, the way Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis, addressed ICE publicly, like saying, get the F out of here. We don't want you here.
Yeah.
And then even encouraging people in other cities to disobey and protest ICE. Like, can they be held accountable for like encouraging mass disobedience to law enforcement? It creates an atmosphere that's dangerous for both law enforcement and the people.
Yeah, I think there is a claim to at least be made. Now, there is a question of what ICE is, how they're classifying and all that. That's been a big talk around Washington, D.C. as well, which is, you know, where are they law enforcement? Who can they talk to? Who can they interact with? Who can they be a part of? So there's all of that. When it comes to the mayor, I mean, it is a lot of talk. You know, we obviously are freedom of speech protectors. And if he says he wants them out of there, that is his point of view. He's allowed to speak that way. When it comes to inciting violence, though, that's a different story.
Well, I think also what you are starting to see, Josh, is that he was on Fox and Friends.
The mayor?
Yes.
Okay.
He's already starting to, still not.
In studio?
Yeah. No, sorry. Oh, okay. Uplink.
I wanted to be sitting there on the couch.
On the couch. But the fact is, he knows where he's going. And I think he probably would not say it, but knows he went a little too hard. Right
emotions
after
were
that,
high. Yep.
And has started to backtrack some of the things he said immediately on that, whether that be to save face or also now having more information. Still putting all the blame on ICE, but it's interesting to see what happens. And the news organization he's willing to go on, clearly that didn't work well for him. Within the city of Minneapolis. So yeah, I think that's sometimes the public opinion will hold you accountable.
And
as
that's
well.
What I was saying about the impeachment. You know, if you're in that area and you think that you have someone who can be swayed, you know, reach out to them. Let's go to Jerry in Texas. Jerry on YouTube, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today? Thank you.
We're good, Jerry. Hey, go ahead.
I got a question for you. What about the banks? How's these people getting all the cash to send back to Somalia, you know, and buy all these luxury homes and cars and planes? They got to get that cash from somewhere. Is the banks giving it to them, or is the government just sending them pallets of cash,
Jerry?
Obama did.
Yeah, Jerry, it's probably bouncing around. So you could say, you know, it would be going to one of these organizations that is in Minnesota, in theory.
Right.
And then fund it out.
Well, once again, if you receive a federal grant and that check clears in the bank and then someone is taking the money out,
right,
the bank isn't policing your transactions, which is actually a good thing.
We don't want
because
that.
Remember what happened during the Biden administration. If you were buying a Bible, if you went and shopped at Bass Pro Shop, the banks were putting you on a list. So I don't think that we necessarily want the banks policing our transactions, Jerry, but your point is taken.
And I think what he understands, or maybe not, is that a lot of times these weren't directly to.
Right.
They may be to an organization, let's say a Somali-run daycare. Those were still Minnesota organizations, quote unquote. And then who knows where the funds ended up after that. And that is where the fraud and abuse can get taken care of. Look, we got a minute and a half left. Renee, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to you today. Call me back tomorrow. We'll see if we can get you on the air. I want you to take a moment. If you want to get involved, there's a great way to do it. Go to ACLJ.org. You can sign the petition right now. We have filed 5 Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIA requests. You've heard us talk about those for years. Those are specifically to expose and defeat this fraud and hold criminals and the corrupt governments accountable. And we can do that, and you can be a part of it as well. Get your name on there. We know, you know, these FOIA requests will answer some of these questions you've asked, whether it's about those fake daycares, about the empty centers, about fraudulent learning centers that didn't even exist. Taxpayer dollars were handed out, and we know the accountability was very low. So I want you to sign. Minnesotans deserve answers. American people, as Will said, some of this is American, you know, federal money, deserve answers. So scan that QR code that you see right now in front of you. Go to aclj.org/sign. Sign that petition today. We are engaging in every way to defend your freedom, and fight corruption. We need your help. You can also become a monthly supporter of the ACLJ. That supports not just the media side, but the legal side. They go hand in hand. We got to make sure we have that team in Washington, D.C. We got to make sure we have that team in Europe, in Jerusalem, and all over the country, and all over the world. None of it happens without your support. Now that ad dollars you hear some sponsors running in your local market, that doesn't go to us. If you see a YouTube ad, know that is a fraction of anything that would even cost to pay a salary, really, of one of our incredible team members here at the ACLJ. We've tried to provide the best of the best, and that is because people like you support. So I encourage you to go to aclj.org. Do it today. Be a part of the team and become a champion if you can.